It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, everybody, it's the Don Show. It never ends.
Those are facts.
The Don Show, starring only Don.
Good for me.
It's the Don Show, starting now.
Tweet that.
Hey, Don.
And the Don Show is brought to you by Security Dodge. See Michelle Scalise and come get some. No ENN tonight, because really there's only one subject to discuss. And that's leading right into the game that's going to be on our air. Knicks Sixers Game 5 from the Garden. Dan Gross is going to have the pre at 6:30. And the Knicks have a chance to do something they have not done since 1999. And that's close out a series at home. Think about that. Now, it says a lot. It says a lot about the fact that the Knicks haven't closed that many series in the last 25 years. And it also says that this team is about to do something pretty, pretty special. And I want to take your phone calls. I want to feel from you at 1-800-919-3776 what's going on in your head as you go to the Garden, as you get ready to listen to this game, as you get ready to watch this game, as you get ready to consume this game, to knock off the hated Philadelphia 76ers in advance to take on the winner of the Pacers, Bucks, and in all likelihood, it's going to be the Pacers, a team that you're better than, and a chance to maybe beat to take on the Boston Celtics in the conference final, and the next step could be tonight. And I expect that building to be crazy, apoplectic, whatever you want to call it. Looks like Embiid's going to be a game-time decision because of his migraine. And this Sixers team just doesn't look like it has it. The Knicks have it. I hate the whole want to. Like, why wouldn't the Sixers want to win? Why wouldn't they want to advance? Of course they would. So this whole want-to thing bothers me, but when you watch these games, it just feels like the Knicks just have that little extra something to get it done. The process has not worked to the level that they thought it would in Philadelphia, and the Knicks have expedited their chances of going by the acquisitions that Leon Rose has made over the last couple of years, and even in this year, to be able to bring in OG, to be able to bring in Achiuwa, and make this team better in the second half of the season. And we've seen that. And now they've got a chance to go out there and get it done tonight. 1-800-919-3776 is the number to call. Want to hear from you. Is it Noe in the car? Am I saying that correctly? You're on ESPN New York. What is going on? Am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, it's Noe. Yep,
love
it's Noe. Thank you for
What do you got? What do you got, buddy?
I've been a Knicks fan since 93, and I've been suffering for a long time. And I just want to say thank you for Mr. Dolan for finally hiring the right personnel. He got it right. I just want to give him a round of applause and say thank you, because we've been suffering a long time of him hiring the wrong personnel. And I just want to make this short and say thank you, and I'm very grateful for it. Let's go, Knicks.
It's good to show that kind of appreciation. Listen, Jim Dolan has been public enemy number one in this town for a long time. He's been blamed for the ineptitude with this Knicks organization. Never seems to get credit for the fact that the Rangers have been a cup contender for a while, because the Knicks have been a team that nobody wants to play for, can't get out of the first round, can't make the playoffs. But I've said it. An owner is only going to be judged based on the hires that he makes. Nobody owns a team because of how much they know about that sport. Jim Dolan doesn't own the Rangers and the Knicks because he knows a lot about hockey and basketball. He's a rich man that happens to own this team and got it from his dad. That's what it comes down to. Hal Steinbrenner's not a baseball expert. He's the son of George Steinbrenner, who, by the way, wasn't a baseball expert. He just happened to be a millionaire, and Hal happens to be a billionaire to be able to own the team. So you're going to judge the quality of the owner based on the decisions that he makes. And it looks like Dolan finally got it right with Leon Rose. And he got it right by hiring Thibodeau. And they've got themselves the brain trust to get it done. And what you've seen on the court and the acquisitions that have been made and the draft picks that have been made, that has made a huge difference for this team. Christian in Carmel. You're on ESPN New York. What's going on, Christian?
Hey, Don. How you doing?
Terrific.
I'm 23 years old, so I never thought
I'd see the Knicks this I never thought they'd get me this excited. I was really young when Carmelo was here, so I didn't pay much attention. But, I mean, it's through the roof right now, you know. And I just want to say Julius Randle deserves a lot of credit for making New York a place where people want to come play basketball again. Because without him, I don't think any of this happens. So, thanks for taking the
call. That's a really good point. I never thought of it or put it in those terms, Christian, but that's a great way to throw out a thank you, because there is that perception nobody wants to play in New York. And outside of Amari Stoudemire, who I don't know how many options he had when he left Phoenix all those years ago, but you know, Julius wanted to play here. He said as much. And he's not a part of this run, but maybe he broke the seal. And these players all talk. And the talk before this season, well, you don't want to go to New York. The fans are hard. The media is hard. They don't have a history of winning. It's been 50-plus years since they've won. Go someplace else where the fans are a little easier, media is a little easier, and you don't have the pressure of having to go out there and win every year. But Julius Randle maybe changed that. And now it's become a destination. It just has. Because as hard as it is to lose in New York, it's as great as it is to win. Ask Reggie Jackson. Ask Eli Manning. Ask Phil Simms. Ask the core four with the Yankees. Ask Strawberry and Dwight Gooden and Keith Hernandez. When you win in New York, it's a part of forever. And just think about how these guys will be elevated. We're talking about Jalen Brunson and how popular he is in New York. Win that championship, and boy, you will see it come back to you tenfold. Mark in Brooklyn, you're on the Don Show. What's going on?
Hey, Don. How's it going? Good to talk to you. I just wanted to make a point. I feel like today, Josh Hart is going to have an insane game. I'm predicting he's going to get a triple-double today, and he's going to carry us to victory. We need that passion. We need that grit, and he's that guy. And today, with the crowd energy, he's going to bring it.
Well, listen, he's been a great acquisition since he's been here. I think he has been as important part of this bench. And then when he's been asked to start, he has answered every bell. I don't know if he needs to do a triple-double. That's a lot to ask of him. But that's the first trend. That's the first acquisition, right? That seems to be the first one that we remember and say, boy, it looks like Leon Rose kind of knows what he's doing. At least that's the first one that I felt. Like, man, he's starting to bring in guys that aren't necessarily headline grabbers, not exactly the most sexy moves in the world, but boy, they work. That's what, you know, it's the same thing with the Rangers, too. Like, who's Roslovic? Who's Wenberg? These aren't sexy moves. This isn't Vetrano. This isn't Adam Henrique. What are they doing? Get guys that fit into what you do. And they may not be big splashes at the time, but then you watch and go, hey, these guys are pretty good. They fit into what we do. And Josh Hart fits into what they do. Ananobi fits into what they do. Achiuwa fits into what they do. So they might be not be the most sexiest and splashy acquisitions, but they work. And that matters more than anything. Mike, we're getting a run of Carmel. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what are you saying? Good evening.
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, thanks. I wanted to give a comparison for the Knicks and give him my highest comparative compliment I can and compare him to Arturo Gatti of the NBA. Not always the most skilled, but they will never be outhearted. And that's very high praise for him. Let's go New York. Let's close him out in five.
And it's a great way to put it because, you know, I take a look at those rebounds in the fourth quarter on Sunday. Seemed like every loose ball, every rebound, every 50-50 ball went to the Knicks. Why? Is that just luck? Like the Sixers are saying, well, when you take that many shots and you miss that many shots, of course you're going to be good at rebounding because you're not as good at shooting the ball. Doesn't take a lot of heart to hit a shot. But what it does, heart does apply, is when that ball's loose, who's going to go get it? So I don't think it's a matter of want to. I think it's a matter of who's got the bigger heart? Who's going to try a little bit harder? Because it can't always be luck that you win the 50-50 ball, so there's got to be something else to it. So I'm watching a competitive game in which the Sixers are good, and they've got talented players, and maybe every bit as good, if maybe not more talented than the Knicks. And I'm watching the game, and I'm seeing every key transition, every key possession seems to go the Knicks' way. Why? Is it the Knicks have more heart? Do the Sixers lack heart? I don't know. Sixers had to go through a lot this year with Embiid being hurt, and we saw his record when he's been in there, and they're banged up. I get it, but so are the Knicks. No Julius Randle. Now Bogdanovich is going to be out for a while. They've had to play this season at times without Mitchell Robinson. We've seen Hartenstein have to play at less than 100%. Didn't hear him complain. Hear him march forward because they got a coach that's not going to hear it. Let's go to Steve in Pearl River. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, Steve?
Hey, John. You know, going with the idea that I would never, ever, ever boo Judge, I will never, ever, ever, never, ever forgive Joel Embiid. Okay, his greatness is diminished because he intentionally injured the guy who was giving him the hardest time, which was Mitchell Robinson. The idea that he shouldn't, as long as Mitchell Robinson couldn't play, there ought to be some kind of rule that says you injure a guy like that, you can't play as long as he can't play. I think that would be only fair, okay? But, you know, what you're saying about the Knicks, it's totally true. We have not necessarily a lot of household names, but we have guys who will build the house and keep it maintained, okay? These guys, you know, these guys have been fun to watch. And you know what? I can't imagine how much easier some of this would have been if Julius could have played. And that play that he got injured on, that guy wasn't suspended for undercutting him like that. You know, I really wonder about Adam Silver, you know, and the level of violence that the NBA and the shenanigans that the NBA are willing to sanction. All right? Embiid should not be playing. All right? Good thing I'm not the commissioner. Okay? And I wonder how much review of tape goes into, like, the league didn't say to Joel Embiid, hey, look, you know, you can't kick a guy down, you can't behave like that on the court. You know, young people are watching.
I know.
And he did that thing. He did that thing with his elbow. You know, to Jalen, to Brunson the other day. I mean,
The biggest problem I have, Steve, and listen, I get how dirty he is, and I'm not going to break down every single example we know. But the problem I have with the NBA is they're too much into the stars instead of just doing the right thing. And if you want to say the officials in the moment didn't think what Embiid did was a flagrant two, didn't believe that he should have been kicked out of the game, they reviewed it in Secaucus. You have level-headed people watching it on replay who are far away from the arena that are supposed to be unbiased and looked at that and said, you know what, we agree, it's not a flagrant two. Was it that? Or was it, we just can't kick the best player on the 76ers out and compromise the series? Because it would, if he's kicked out of that game, and then he is suspended for the next game, series over. And you take a look around the NBA, there hasn't been a lot of compelling series. I know Cleveland and Orlando are tied at two, so what? You know, the Lakers are gone. I think, what is this, Anthony, the first time since 2004 that we haven't had Curry, LeBron, or Durant in the second round? 06. Sorry, not 04, but 06. 18 years. So it's a star-driven sport. We've got the Sixers and the Knicks that, on the surface, looked like it was going to be a long, fun series, and they didn't want to pull the plug on it. But what I would ask the NBA is, would it be your fault if you suspended him? Would it have been your fault that he was kicked out of the game? Or would it have been Embiid's fault for crossing the line? You always talk about, oh, we can't throw him out of the game. We can't do that. Well, why can't you do it? Why isn't there any responsibility on the player to know I can't cross the line, and if I do, I'm going to get kicked out and I'm going to get suspended? Why is it on the league? Why can't the player take some responsibility? And now what, you embolden these superstars to figure they can do whatever they want because they're not going to get kicked out. They're not going to be disciplined. And what really hurts the Knicks, and that's why you have to root for the Knicks, is because they're anti-NBA. They're anti-load management. They're anti-giving up on games and not caring. This team brings it every single night. They play major minutes. They play every game as if their life depended on it, and that's what makes sports fun. But unfortunately, they don't get appreciated by the rest of the league, and it ends up hurting them. So I feel like they're going up against their opponent, and they're going up against the league because the league doesn't respect them. And that's why seeing them go far would be just so much fun to stick it to Adam Silver, to stick it to the NBA and say, here's this team that you don't appreciate. Here's this team that you don't think has any stars, that doesn't deserve the respect, that none of the analysts predict can win a series. Oh, they can't beat Indiana. They can't beat Philadelphia. They can't be the two seed. While the Cleveland Cavaliers are tanking to get Orlando, the Knicks are playing in a meaningless game against the Bulls to get the two seed. That's why I can't wait for Orlando to beat Cleveland. How much would that be great? You tank to get Orlando, and Orlando beats you. And that's the stuff that makes it fun to watch this team. And that, to me, is what drives them to get that loose ball, to get that rebound. Because you know what? If you're not going to give us respect, we're going to take it. Let's go to Gary in New Jersey. You're on ESPN New York.
Hey, Don. How you doing? First time calling in to get you, brother.
Good to talk to you, Gary.
Good to talk to you. Listen, I'm a big Met fan, just to let you know that.
But cool.
In essence, that the Knicks, we're going to do it. We're going to do it tonight. I think we're going to do it. I'm really hyped for the game tonight. And you're absolutely right about Embiid's situation. I'll never have respect for him anymore. He's a great player, but you know what? Dirty players, there's no place in the game for that kind of stuff. There's no place in the game. And you're exactly right. This wouldn't have, if that was Kelly Oubre who did that, Kelly Oubre would have gotten kicked out of the game.
He's out.
And that's, you know, that's what I had to say to you. But nice talking to you, brother.
Oh, it was nice talking to you, Gary. Have fun tonight. I don't know how you're going to consume the game, but enjoy it. This, only Knicks fans could get it. But you know, when you have a team that has disappointed you and hasn't lived up to expectations and hasn't given you a run, and you've got a chance to close out a series. Listen, it was an absolute honor to close out that game Sunday for the Rangers, to be able to win a series, see that handshake line, see the accomplishment, to be a part of that was so cool. Same thing with the Knicks. That feeling of accomplishment that you did it, you moved on, and now you get you're checking the schedule. When's game one going to be? Who are we going to play? It'd be great tonight for the Knicks to win and have the Bucks beat the Pacers, and they have to have a game six, and you're watching that, seeing those two teams beat each other up, knowing you've got an excellent chance to beat them. It's sweet, man. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. It's cool. Let's go to Chauncey in Westwood. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, buddy?
Don, how are we feeling going into this game, man?
Oh, listen, how do you not feel great about it? I mean, it's a Sixers team that looks like they just want to go home, and it's a Knicks team that just looks ready. That building is going to be nuts tonight. How do you not feel good about it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, I'm only 21, so I started watching the Knicks in the Linsanity year. So I saw Linsanity, I saw the 54-win team, and then after that, it's just complete depression. And to have a team like this now is just something special. The front office has completely gotten things right. I'm super hyped for the game tonight. With that being said, with the dozen dirty plays Embiid has committed this series, he's been the most annoying player on the court. The most annoying player by far off the court has been Kelly Oubre. The way after game three, where he said the Knicks were crying, that they were playing too physical, they were not crying. They were asked a question about Embiid's dirty play, and they acknowledged that it was dirty. And then he goes after last game, oh, he took 34 shots. Brunson shot over 50%. When you say something like that, it's like he's never even played basketball before. If Brunson took 100 shots and made 50 of them, that's still pretty damn good. So Kelly Oubre, I want to close him out tonight just as much as I want to do to Embiid. Thanks, Don.
Yeah, the whole Sixer team, the whole Philadelphia vibe. I mean, it's really great. And I was thinking about this, about like settling old scores, right? Not so much with the Sixers, but, you know, the Pacers were the team that knocked the Knicks out in 2013. And, of course, you know what the Celtics have done to the Knicks way back in the day, even before any of us were even born. You know, real chance to do some damage. I don't want to get ahead of myself here because they haven't even won this series yet. And I do respect Philadelphia and their talent. I don't think they have the ability to win three straight, but can they win the game tonight? Can they make it scary? Of course they can. They have that kind of ability. We saw it in game three. We almost saw it in game two. But this is – it's rare. You know, it's rare to be able to just – it's rare to have a team that you feel like can make a run, and it's a team you like. You know, and it really, I get a sense, because let's be honest, there's times where you have a favorite team, but there's guys, I don't know if this guy's any good. I don't know if that guy's any good. This guy irritates me. I get a sense that Knicks fans just love everybody on their roster. They love their coach. They just love their team. And boy, how cool would the game be tonight if it's like a celebration in the Garden and the team is winning the game, and if the fans are just celebrating and all in unison standing up, cheering their team on to the second round. And again, last year felt that way too. But this just feels different. You're a higher seed. This isn't an upset. I feel it's like last year on steroids. And you will be probably just as disappointed, if not more so, if they were to lose in the second round the way they did last year. Let's go to Wilfred in Dumont. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Don, how's it going, man? Big fan. Love the show.
Thanks.
I want to give Sleepy Tom Bobos his flowers, man. He reminds me, and I've been thinking of this comparison all year, he reminds me of Herb Brooks in Miracle. It's almost like he told the team early on, like, you don't have enough talent to win this championship on talent alone. And he has them playing hard again and again and again, and they just win with want to and grit and conditioning and passion, and it's everything that we could all want as fans. And I just wanted to hear your take on that comparison, man.
It's a great comparison, because for people that don't know Herb Brooks, he of course was the head coach of the Miracle on Ice team in 1980 for hockey. Was a coach of the Rangers and the Devils. Didn't have the same success in the NHL that he had internationally. But he was a guy that had a system, and he had a way of going about it, and said, this is the way we're going to win. Follow me. And that's the way Tibbs is. This is the way we're going to play. We're going to play this way every night. No load management. We're going to play tons of minutes. We're going to shorten the bench. We're going to play every game as if our life depended on it, because that's the only way we're going to win, because we're not the most talented team. They're not. I mean, I think Brunson is exceptionally talented, and there are talented guys on this team, don't get me wrong, but you know, if you're looking at the talent compared to some of the other teams in the league, they may not match. But you know what? We're going to play hard every night. We're not going to load management. We're going to play tons of minutes, and we're going to go out there and outwork our opponent. And that is that's a huge key. We're going to make it difficult to play us. That's why I can't see the Sixers coming back in the series, because they got to do it not once, not twice, but three times against the Knicks team that's not going to read their press clippings, that are not going to look beyond the next game. Same thing with Laviolette with the Rangers. You ask Laviolette a question about tomorrow, and he doesn't answer the question, because it's about today. It's about the game today. It's not about the Pacers or the Bucks, not about the Celtics, not about game six. It's about game five tonight at the Garden. And that's the focus. So don't stray. Don't start reading your press clippings. Don't start believing that you are something that you're not. We've got work to do. It's not done. Series isn't over until you close it out. Always a pleasure to welcome in Richard to Manhattan.
You want a little Don and Dick action?
You only got a little bit, buddy. What do you got?
Hi, Don. You know, you can say in the last 38 years, the three best Knicks have been Brunson, Ewing, and Carmelo. You know, maybe Sprewell, but just include those three. And you know what they all have in common, those three? They all won college championships.
Oh, good point.
You know, in hockey, you got the three best teams, you know, in my opinion, Florida, Carolina, and the Rangers in the East. And unfortunately, only one will come out.
That's right.
But in basketball, the three best teams, in my opinion, OKC, Denver, and Minnesota, and they're all in the West.
Yeah, I wish, Richard, and we're up against them, thank you for the phone call, that the system was a little bit different, so that you're not going to see one of those three teams be out in the first round. But you know what? That's a conversation for another day. But the conversation today is about Game 5. Dan Grasso is up next with the pregame show, then the tip at 7 o'clock. That was the Don Show, brought to you by Security Dodge. Shop 24-7 at securitydodge.com during the Dodge Power Shot Days Jeep Celebration event at Ram Truck Month. Enjoy the Knicks.